The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to Homo Ground, same ground, different sound. This episode is brought to you by Lambda Legal, America's leading legal defense organization for LGBT people and everyone living with HIV. To support the fight, visit lambdalegal.org/homoground.
This is Mira, and you're listening to Homo Ground.
This is indeed Homo Ground. My name is Maya McDonald, and I'm here with a very special episode of Homo Ground. We're featuring my bandmate and friend, Mira, to discuss her new album. It's out this fall. She's also got an upcoming reunion performance with Tao, of Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down. Tao and Mira will be coming together on May 30th to headline the closing week of this season's The Hum. It's a concert series created and curated by Rachel Pazdan. Features performances and collaborations between your favorite female and non-binary musicians here in New York City. This season's series has taken place at House of Yes in Brooklyn every Wednesday and will culminate on May 30th with collaborations from Katie Von Schleicher, Julie Byrne, Alex Brown, Brianna Barbara, Dita Peled, Lila Vander, and Rennie Lane. Tao and Mira will be headlining the evening, 7 years since the release of their eponymous album and tour. We're giving away some tickets to the May 30th show. You can visit homoground.com along with our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for your chance to win. Right now, let's listen to some Tao and Mira.
I think that the album Tao and I made is so great. It's hard to say which one of my, like, it's one of my favorites. I think it's really great. And it was a special experience making it. And it was, it's just such a particular period of time of my life and those songs and then the tour we did afterwards. And unlike the other albums that I've made that I can sort of, you know, I pull from here and there at will, that one, I haven't been able to play a lot of the songs on it because half of them are like Tao songs that she sings. And so it just feels exciting to have a chance to revisit the album and play a show with Tao, because playing the shows with her, touring that album, were like some of the funnest shows. They were just really fun. We had a great band.
The premise of The Hum is that it's featuring artists that haven't previously collaborated or worked together, and that's sort of...
I guess we don't count.
You don't count, but...
but Rachel was kind enough to ask us anyway.
But you do count, like, retroactively, right? Because you guys hadn't made music before you, dove into this record.
That's true. That's true. And actually, the reason why the record happened was because both Tao and I work with Terrorbird, and Lauren Ross from Terrorbird, she just wrote an email to each of us and was like, I think, because I had just moved to San Francisco, and Meryl Garbus had just moved to San Francisco, and Lauren was just, you know, doing her thing, like putting all this information together, and she was like, bling, I have an idea. And she wrote emails to all of us like, I think the three of you should work together. And we were all like, oh, that's a great idea. So it was Lauren Ross's idea.
You guys didn't sit in one room and make this album in that way.
Well, we didn't. It's true that we didn't write together as much as we recorded and produced together, which... For me, recording and producing is like at least half of what I do. So it's not insignificant to me to have that be the shared process. And all of the people who I've worked with on my albums, Phil Elverum, Eli Cruz, and, you know, and Tao and Meryl on this record, the process of collaborating in the studio is like a very crucial component. It's true. Tao and I wrote separately, although only two of the songs, one of each of our songs was written before we met and before we decided to do the record. And all the other songs were written after we had met and decided to do the record together. We just didn't we didn't sit in the room and like, how about this chord? How about that chord? You know?
the Hallelujah story a private story?
It's not private. I can talk about it. That's a song that as I recall, sometimes I'm like, who wrote these songs? Who am I? It feels like they wrote, the songs wrote themselves. I was there, but sometimes I like can't quite remember, you know, it's not like this really accurate, like, oh, tying this line to this line. It's like a sensual experience. It's like my senses are involved and I have to sort of like, you know, feel it out and like make it in space, but then I can't really remember how it happened. I don't know if that makes any sense at all. But the things that I do remember about writing that song are, I remember that I was thinking about my sister for parts of it and just thinking about, you know, my sister as a person in my life who, like, at that time she was working so hard and doing, you know, it's like so talented and has all of these amazing gifts. And the world just doesn't always give you back this sort of equal and like, you know, wide open feeling supported kind of thing. Sometimes the world just feels like you give and give and you try and try and you still just come up short. And the disappointment of that and the painful feelings about that, that was part of what I was thinking about. And then there's one verse where I specifically describe a storm that, so Tao and I wrote and recorded this record and toured this record, but actually before we recorded the record, we toured together as sort of like super group, you know, Mira and Tao, and we had put together a band that we shared. And on that tour, we were driving through, I think Western Kansas, and we were either in like Southern Colorado or Western Kansas or something. And we ended up driving right into this insane hailstorm where literally the sky went black and we were in two different cars, and Tao was in the car ahead with some of the bandmates and I was in the car behind. And in her car, the windshield just got demolished. Like, it didn't get totally blown in, but they couldn't see anymore and they had to pull over, and it was super dangerous. And that was happening to every single car on the road, every person on the road. And we were able to make it off the highway before, you know, we couldn't see anything. But the whole thing was like extremely, it was powerful. It was scary, but it was also like just the forces of nature that, especially if we live in cities, we don't often face in such a direct way. And I mean, we were like inside our car. So I was like, what are the cows doing? You know, like they're like whole, I mean, what, like the trees are experiencing this too. Like, what, this is crazy. Just the force of the wind and like, and the, you know, lightning, hail, black sky. It was very dramatic.
Think that it's all over now, that the work you have done has been lost somehow. You wait wake up hungry in this world you made. So much so, how could you be turned away? Under thunder, we drove through a black sky paved with the threat we might die. Oh, we were so afraid. You can't throw your body up against the glass, but you can't stop the rain. Cracks have been made, but there's still time to sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Stay sleeping when that garbage man came. He stormed up the street 'cause we called out his name. With the sounds of us choking on the mess that's been made, dig us out from this slumber. We've given salt, we've sweated off, done all this and knocking on your door. We don't want to be the currency get spent on war and then come home wondering what was it all for. That's no way to sing hallelujah.
Space.orbit.
That was the one song on the record that I wrote before we had plans for the record. I wrote that before I left Portland. And actually, it was the name is I was working on that song at the same time as a very close friend of mine, Ariana Jacob. She was curating this event at the Portland Art Museum where she was asking musicians to choose a painting or just a piece of work at the museum to sing a serenade to. And so I got to tour the museum and pick a work of art. And I already had the song kind of started, or maybe it was mostly finished. I can't quite remember. But I ended up really being attracted to this Helen Frankenthaler painting that was called Spaced Out Orbit. And I was like, oh, that's the name of the song. And it just made so much sense to me to put those things together.
Are you regularly inspired in that way by other forms of art?
I think the thing that most consistently enters my psyche from the outside and makes its way into my music, both the lyrics and sort of sonic palette, it's things like that hailstorm in Kansas. It's like forces of nature and just the feeling of being alive on the planet and with all these other living creatures and, you know, in like looking at the universe of stars overhead. And that's the stuff. Those are the works of art that like most consistently make it in.
Well, I saw something that resembled that place on the other side where we were together. On the moon we walked and kicked up lots of dust. We made a space cloud of us and of that stuff we were afraid of. We had a home there and in the glow we'd stare at each other and nothing other than each other. And I thought nothing could ever touch us except the space dust all around us. But now there's something digging down into the crust, trying to find an ocean there under the home we share. They set their weight down like an earthquake we cracked. Was it the government who sent them? Was it their scientific vision to destroy past recognition? They did approach without concern, and when they warned us of their plan, we didn't listen. They would take our gentle light, our moon and our whole life, replace what we had grown with their ambition.
This episode is brought to you by Lambda Legal. Lambda Legal is America's leading legal defense organization for LGBT people and everyone living with HIV. Currently, Lambda Legal is fighting to protect the right of transgender people to serve in the military. They're sounding the alarm about extremist judges. And they're battling religious exemption bills, which provide a license to discriminate. To support the fight, visit lambdalegal.org/homoground. That's lambdalegal.org/homoground.
I'm really excited to release this record. I'm really excited about the record and how it turned out. And it was really fun to make. And I feel, it's always fun to put out a record. It's a new collection. It takes long enough to make a record that it feels like a whole treasure trove of like all the time and effort that I put into this thing that I've, and then we can do this and that, and then we'll put these together and all these decisions, and then you like put it all together and then it's finally ready to present. I'm just so excited for that.
You said something to me a few months ago about how, like, of course there are always more changes one might want to make, but that you had used up your, like, X amount of decisions already. Maybe it was 1,000 of them or something. But that stuck with me and resonated in
as
my
you
head
were finishing
as I was
your record?
Desperately crawling to the waterline
to
finish my album.
I mean, I think it's so much about process also and about what feels right to you. And so, like, depending on who you are as a person or what that song is asking you to do or what the collection of songs is asking you to do, it can totally be the right thing to, really, with, like, a very fine brush, like, go over every single thing and make sure it's just right and, like, you know, set everything up. And sometimes it feels good to just make broader strokes of decisions or, you know, feel like, well, I'm kind of going out on a limb here, but it feels like the right thing to do. Like, for example, the last track on the record, Energy, I deliberated whether or not to re-record the first half of the song, which on the record it's an iPhone memo recording. And I recorded it in my living room 5 minutes after I wrote the song. It was one of those songs that I wrote really quickly. And I just, I wrote it and recorded it. It is not high fidelity. I'm like moving around and you can hear that. But it, like, there's something that recording really captured that I would never be able to recreate exactly. And it felt, especially because of the nature of that song, it felt really kind of important to me to be vulnerable and to share that in the vulnerable state of, like, it just came out that way that one time. I wasn't planning on putting it on my record when I was sitting there in my living room 5 minutes after I wrote it, recording it onto my phone. So it feels a little bit scary to make that decision and also really good to make a slightly scary decision.
The song Sundial is one that I personally have witnessed, like, a pretty big evolution with, and you've chosen to release two really different versions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed that you were able to, like, let go of the strings version mm-hmm. in order to accommodate sort of a new vision for that song that Greg made. How did you unhear the old version and the one that we'd been doing for so long?
Well, I mean, the crucial piece there is that I asked Greg to, I had a lot of the songs on the record, I recorded the basic tracks while I was on residency at Headlands and a couple other places. So, and a lot of those basic tracks are on the record, you know, like it's that guitar take and the original vocal. So it's like the vocal and then the three-part ooh harmonies. And that's what I had before Jarek wrote his string arrangement. And then, you know, the song sort of traveled into Sundial EP strings land and tour. And so it like had a period of time to embody that sound. But I always, you know, my original song was this sort of incomplete, just guitar and vocal. Actually, the original, I had only written two verses and hadn't written the words to the B section yet. So it was sort of like inside of me, it was still waiting to have another version of it made. But after going through the process of Jarek writing the arrangement and doing that recording and all the tours, it was hard for me to hear where to take it. So I asked Greg Saunier, I'm just going to give this to you and I'm curious what you'll hear. And so then the, you know, the bass and the drums that come in on the ooh section and that crazy guitar, like the first time I heard it, I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. I love it. And I would have had such a hard time hearing this because of the sort of training of, you know, the recording the strings version. But it sort of required me to like bring someone else in.
We look to the strongest light in the sky. We've been living here since the dawn of time. We don't count the days, we've got the sun inside. And we've been watching you this whole while.
I think is interesting about making a collection of songs is the way that like each one
sort of starts to inform the other one, and it all turns into this like moving mass of thing that lives on the same planet, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you like keep going back to these songs to, once you knew what the voice of the record was and the tone, to make things be in the same world at all?
Yes. And I mean, I actually had the basic recordings for quite a while before committing to or before acknowledging that they were a collection of songs. And I sort of had this idea that this is going to be my weirdest album yet. I can't see how these songs go together at all in their original states. Even though now when I listen to the original demos, I'm like, oh, like of course they were there as a family. I just couldn't quite hear it yet or couldn't quite see it. But definitely the process of, taking out each one in having the original form, and then, you know, a couple of them got structurally changed a lot. Like Hot Hot was really just a pretty short piece when I recorded the original, and it got several new sections and we expanded it. And I mean, the instrumentation is at once quite varied, but also there are familiar characters that show up throughout the record, like the troubadour organ, my favorite friend.
Can we just go Headlands. Pick that up and bring it on tour with us?
I wish that we could. That thing is so heavy.
We better start checking Craigslist.
Yeah.
Does anyone out there have a troubadour?
Travel version.
Are there other things about the hum that you are excited about, or this show in particular?
In general, I really love the Hum series, and I mean, I love what Rachel has put together and the idea, and the shows have all, you know, all the ones that I've been to have been really great. It's also really cool that, you know, her focus is on building community, and, you know, I spent a lot of my life living in a smaller town, a lot of my 10 years anyway. Is that a lot of, that's a fourth of my life? Okay. Yeah. yeah. And like, I always found that smaller towns or cities like Olympia or Portland, it was sort of just came with the territory. Like community came with the territory because you just run into people anyway. Like you couldn't help it. You know, you couldn't be alone if you tried. And you know, New York has a different scene than that. There's just a lot more people, a lot more space. People are more busy. So it does require effort to sort of build community and bring people together on a regular basis, you know, with sort of common loves, and I just really appreciate that Rachel's doing that.
Okay. Well, thank you for talking to me.
Oh, thank you.
And I'll see you presumably before our show.
When we rehearse.
Yeah. So I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
Major thanks to our Patreon supporters, Willard J., Ren Wilder, Catherine the Gay, Ashley E., Michael Bacon, and Critical Explorers of Future Societies. You can support Homoground and receive access to special content at homoground.com/Patreon. Once again, thanks to our sponsor, Lambda Legal. You can visit them at lambdalegal.org/homoground. And of course, don't forget, we are giving away tickets to the Tao and Mira show. It's May 30th at House of Yes in Brooklyn. Visit our socials and our site for more. Today's episode was produced by myself, Maya McDonald, and Lynn Casper from Homoground.